Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben, and in this episode, we're diving into how algorithms are affecting reach online and what we can do about it.
Because if anything, exactly. I was going to say, hopefully there is something we can do about it, right?
Well, maybe let's just set the table a little bit about how interesting of a topic this is, because that is the sad claim we have to make, is we honestly don't know.
Right.
If there's anything we can do about it. We can learn best practices, we can see what's working for others, all this kind of stuff, which we'll touch on some level, I'm sure, this episode, but there's only a few people on the planet that really know.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that is why this is about authenticity as well as algorithms, because it comes back to that, you know, that old chestnut, mm-hmm. Be who you want to be,
yeah.
Be your authentic self, and that's the point.
Yeah.
So, but spoilers, that's a spoiler, right?
That's okay.
Okay.
Keeping the listener here.
Yeah.
Giving them some early info.
I hope we're keeping them here. We'll find out. Speaking of setting the table, you know I love to set a table. Mm. Let's define a whole lot of things. I have a whole lot of information, just information packed here at the top, so that our table is well set, including napkins and napkin rings and all
right.
of those things.
Yeah.
Right. Do you set table at home? Like when you sit down for, does your family set the table?
Not typically. We usually do like a pseudo family style setup at the counter where
okay.
the stuff's just up at the counter. We dish up and take it to the
table.
Or somebody dishes up and then brings it to the table.
Okay.
Every now and then, though, we'll have the food in its baking apparatus or whatever it might be at the center of the table, and we'll have plates and forks set and all that. Of course, for the big ones, Thanksgiving and all
right.
that, we'll set a table. But
right.
Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, no, not too often. But it's okay. I mean, while we don't set the table, we spend a lot of time eating together and are pretty
right.
good about that schedule. So at least for now, before life gets too crazy. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Right.
That's what matters.
Right.
I'm all to say I'm a table setter from way
are
back.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Just always been a table setter.
Yeah. Glad we got that established.
Yes. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew how much I love to set the table, because
right.
let's talk about what we mean by algorithms. Let's talk about some of the things that we know to the best of our ability. As you said, whatever some of this information actually is,
mm-hmm.
social media platforms keep it pretty secret. All we can do is try something, see how it responds, and make some assumptions based on that. So 2025, algorithms are different. Things are, and this has been emerging for a few years, probably since the pandemic, when TikTok short form video really took over. It was always popular, but it really took over those algorithms, and algorithm is a really hard word to say. But anyway, really took it over, really things, it became incredibly clear and has been increasing that's what's being prioritized, that short form video,
mm-hmm.
particularly short form video that is getting good engagement.
Yeah.
And everything else either sort of hits to a lesser degree, or, you know, one thing I would be interested in talking about, although we don't have any answers about either, is the number of creators who feel they're being actively suppressed.
Mm,
so
sure.
that's another little wrinkle here,
right.
Where I think when we're normally talking about whether something is appealing to the algorithm's pushing it, we're thinking either it is being pushed or it is being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
But to think about it being actively dampened down is this whole other thing.
Right.
So, but that's not part of setting the table.
Yeah.
That is already eating dessert, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. At least second course, right?
Right. Right. So we have to talk about platform feed ranking. And platform feed ranking is the process that social media platforms use and other content platforms to personalize the order of content in your feed. instead of displaying it in chronological order. And I think we, I have noticed this a lot more lately, maybe.
Yeah, it's been all over the place for like at least the last year, if not longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things that are maybe several days old are now showing up in my current feed. And so that is all that platform feed ranking. And that is informed by this, by the algorithm. Let's see. What else? What other things can we set the table? We already talked a little bit about that short form video, stories, reels. Those things have been continually innovated. They're continually being prioritized on these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Recommendation engines are another thing to know about. That's AI-powered software that filters the content and products to offer personalized suggestions to the users. They improve, they quote unquote, what this research I found said it improves their experience by increasing sales.
According to who, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And customer loyalty. So recommendation engines. So these are the things, you know, those recommendation engines are behind your platform feed, behind what you're going to be seeing. And the more you interact with something else, the more likely that is to show up in your feed.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of all of that, we pile on the fact that our habits as consumers are shifting. Doom scrolling is going to be in the Webster's Dictionary in the next edition, by the way.
Great.
Thing I just heard. So doom scrolling is one of the ways that our habits are shifting. People are on these platforms and just getting into rabbit holes of... I mean, and I think people go both ways.
Yeah.
You maybe are doom scrolling and getting just, I think what I have seen, and maybe this is just, this is an audience of one, that the, on the short form video platforms, I am using my same behavior that I was using on Facebook. But on Facebook, I would see a headline,
mm-hmm.
and only consume the headline and maybe not move past, maybe not move beyond that and just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Now on short form video platforms, I and other consumers are not watching whole videos. We are consuming the first few seconds,
right.
and moving on.
Yeah.
Right? Until we find something that really catches our interest and keeps us there long enough. So there is a lot going on there. We have the algorithm, which is informed by all of this AI and all of these things, looking for what it thinks we want, and our behavior is informing it. And then we have the discussion of reach versus impression versus engagement and all of that. So we're layer at this point.
Right.
Impressions are the total number of times something is displayed. So the number of times it's shown
yeah.
to people. And reach is the unique number of users seeing it. Engagement is their interactions. Now, the thing about engagement is it stops being tied to, especially on platforms like TikTok, where you can engage in multiple ways, that stops being tied to a strict number of people. So you could have one person that on TikTok engages four different ways.
Right.
And you, all of these tie in together. Increasing numbers on any of these things can't be seen as bad necessarily.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think we reach and impressions were really a pretty key dynamic for social media for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, not only are they declining for, especially for business accounts, unless you're paying,
right.
paying to play. But those impressions really mean less because people are, you know, that habit is people are scrolling. So yeah. you're in their feed,
right?
But they're not consuming you.
Right.
They're not seeing actually what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so that can sort of mislead people into marketers in particular, non-marketers who have to do marketing too, into believing, you know, we have great impressions, we have great reach, why aren't we getting sales? Well, the answer could be you have those numbers, but your engagement is not good.
Yeah.
Nobody's actually paying attention.
Right.
So there, table set.
It's a bountiful table.
It is. There's so much on this table right yeah. now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to like go borderline conspiracy theorist on Ooh, this, maybe
go all the
maybe
way.
Dark internet or Ooh, dark web
dark
on
web.
This. What I think is really interesting and probably is some version of what I'm going to bring up is like, really what's behind all of this that could be impactful to understand. And we also never will because it's a secret and is tied to things like ad revenue and stuff like that is like what kind of engagement is being measured, is being observed, and then decisions are being made off of it. Something as simple as like scrolling past something and mm-hmm. then realizing, ooh, what was that? And then scrolling back to it,
mm.
you know, are the platforms measuring like, ooh, they came back to this thing for some reason. So let's serve them more content like that. Or it's got some kind of a hook or something that means, okay, we need to give them more content like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not liking, commenting, sharing, doing any of the traditional engagement stuff that, you know, platforms typically measure or we're getting in our reports and stuff. But there's a different kind of engagement that the platform itself is noticing and then serving you different things in different ways or more of something because mm-hmm. of something like that. And I feel like, I mean, I am certainly not studying this. I am not tracking my own interactivity. And honestly, I hate to say it, as a marketer, I'm probably not on social media enough to really provide like a ton of relevant feedback here. Yeah, and that's probably me glossing over how much time I actually spend on social media. It's probably more than I should probably give myself a little more credit as a marketer or mm-hmm. researcher of this topic. But I do feel like I've noticed some things, stuff like that, like, of course, like clicking on something and then all of a sudden that's what you see in your feed mm-hmm. a ton. Like that's the easy one to make a connection to. But some of that other behavior too that is maybe happening in the platform, like scrolling back to something.
Mm-hmm.
Or stuff that's happening outside of the platform too, like websites you're visiting, shopping right. you're doing, stuff you're saying around your devices, you know, and all of those things playing into each other so that you get served something specific. And I do think that it's intentionally not obvious.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, research and money and resources being put behind serving people something that they want to see whether they think they do or not.
Do you really think it's not obvious? I think I hear people commenting on it all the time.
Yeah. Do I think what's
that
obvious?
That it's not, you said maybe it's intentionally not obvious. Or that it's not obvious. I'm recording this, so I could probably go back and tell you exactly
yeah.
what you said. But
yeah,
but you said something like that it's maybe intentionally not obvious. But mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly obvious.
Yeah.
Not to pick a fight.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you. Give me an example, maybe. If you even want to solve this.
Right.
I think the fact that you and I aren't immediately on the same page about this tells me that there's at least some truth to it not being totally obvious. Like, you have to have had the experience where something shows up in your feed and you're like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
why is this here? You know? And if you spent enough time digging into it, or you had even like the first layer of information as to how the algorithm is built and how it mm-hmm. works and stuff, maybe you could connect the dots to like, oh, I got served that because this or because of that or, you know, whatever
right.
it might be. But
right.
I think we can probably like put all of the variables out on the table. Like it's either I clicked on something or my spouse clicked on something mm-hmm. or I said something around my HomePod or this or that. Or, you know, we could put all those variables on the table. But the not obvious part is which one of them is
right,
being played right. at the
Got
time
it.
That the hand is, you know, being played, you know. And
yeah.
That's the not obvious part to me.
Yeah. There, you know, and I can identify with that feeling of something popping up. And going, oh, that is something that, like, I know it's one of these amorphous things that put that here,
mm-hmm.
but it's always, sometimes it's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. Which one, why, and for me, why now? is right. Most often the question I get, like, what?
Yeah.
Not just like old content, but like, I mean, this is something I maybe would have been interested in 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. I think you get it.
Yeah, I do get it. I do get it. That's okay.
But yeah, let's bring this back to the title a little bit, you know, in this, you know, authenticity versus algorithm topic, mm-hmm. you know, let's say that we could totally understand the algorithm, right? Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing as a business to take that knowledge? Because we do have some knowledge of it and are even hearing things from the platforms themselves saying, like, this kind of stuff will do well. I remember mm-hmm. when Facebook Live was the new thing and there was direct advice from Meta right. saying, like, you should put live videos out there.
Yeah.
Those will get lots of views, you know? So, like, even if we knew some of that stuff, like, what are we doing with it to deliver on what we're selling, on our mm-hmm. brand promise, on all those things? So, which I don't know if we want to get into that now, if that's
Let's segue
to something in the future.
No, that's where we're at. Let's talk about, you know, we've talked about what the algorithm is and what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we do about that?
Right.
Because chasing it, especially knowing that it is somewhat of a mystery.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about authenticity a little bit, right? Maybe start by defining it, what it actually means beyond, I mean, sadly. Wait,
are you going to set the table?
I'm totally setting the table. you know, it's interesting that... a way to define authenticity is by using a bunch of buzzwords, and authenticity mm-hmm. has kind of become its own buzzword, right? But yeah, you know, what is it? Consistency, vulnerability, clarity, alignment with your values. I do think that authenticity is an interesting word in that it is something that businesses, that people bear the burden to deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the recipient has to understand a certain amount of things or has to be open-minded enough to know when something is authentic and when it's not, you
right.
know? So it's kind of like this two-way street. But at the end of the day, we do know that it's important. There's plenty of research, and you brought a really excellent data point to the conversation that says that 86% of consumers say that authenticity matters in brand choice. And that 60% believe that brands fail to deliver on it. So
that hurts.
6 in 10 businesses.
That gets me right to the
perception
core.
Is that they're not
yeah,
delivering authenticity. So, I mean, and it hurts you and it hurts us because of, I think, the emphasis that we've put on
mm-hmm.
delivering authenticity, being real with people, being all of those things, transparent, vulnerable,
right.
clear, you know, all of that. But it, I mean, sorry. In the most authentic way, right?
Yeah.
Not just doing it to do it or saying it because we
right.
want to do it, you know?
Yeah. And there is an inherent challenge in being completely authentic and also having a huge business and mm-hmm. having different business units and all of the things that takes a massive amount of management to... always deliver on your brand promises, to always live up to your core values.
Mm-hmm.
There are places, you know, if I just pulled one out of the sky, I guess Zappos is the one that has been kind of the gold standard.
Sure.
People buy from Zappos anymore. I haven't really thought about Zappos in a long time.
Yeah.
But that, you know, in terms of customer service and, you know, they were always the one that we were studying, you know, for years. They were...
Right.
We were studying them and how they deliver across every interaction.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that doesn't come easy.
Right. Yeah. I do feel like a reason that they were, you know, kind of like under that microscope for such a long time is because they were doing it really well and mm-hmm. doing it really well in a couple of the like most important aspects of interaction with a brand to deliver authenticity, which I think is company culture, which was a big thing that they, you know, were studied on a ton, and then their customer experience too.
Right.
Those two things, you know, I do think that there's enough like allowable volatility, if that's a term, in like quality of your product and mm-hmm. some of those other things that I think are easy to see and observe or get feedback on in like a survey or something, you know, mm-hmm. but some of that stuff that's like really core to who you are, how you operate, how your clients, customers, members, whatever perceive you, you know, speaking to the customer experience stuff. I feel like those are two things that they were just doing so, so well mm-hmm. and so visibly well that they were, it was an easy association with like, yes, authenticity equals Zappos, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, yeah, but, and you know, the thing is, it's easy to point to their company culture and their customer experience, maybe because it was so visible, maybe because it was so awesome, genuinely mm-hmm. awesome. But I think there's other ways to deliver on authenticity that doesn't necessarily mean, like, corporate culture that everyone's going to write about and study mm-hmm. or a customer experience that's so amazing it changes people's lives or is mind-blowing or anything like that.
Right.
Let's talk about McDonald's, you know. I think they deliver on an authenticity through their customer experience and their product experience, and that it does not matter which one you go to, the fries mm-hmm. will taste the same.
Right.
The speed will be, you know, relatively the same. Of course, yeah. there's, you know, the one store where the ice cream machine's always broken and all that. I haven't heard about that in a while.
It's not just one. Yeah. I think that's the right. problem.
but you know, that's, I think, part of mm-hmm. them delivering on what they're authentically selling and showing and right. telling and all that.
Right. So. And that is a brand that has known who they were and what they were doing for a long, long time.
You know, that's...
And crafted that from the very beginning.
Right. And that's an interesting point, actually, that there's maybe this, like, scale, sliding scale. I don't know. I don't know if it's sliding scale. Doesn't matter.
That scale could be whatever it wants.
Maybe it's a spectrum. Maybe it's a spectrum.
Ooh, it could be. Could be a teeter-totter.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Right. Where... there is a connection to like longevity and just the ability to like know oneself or know a company's mm-hmm. self before you can like truly deliver on this authenticity thing, you know? Because there's so much to learn over time about your internal processes, how your mm-hmm. clients, your customers respond to things, how you're like where you fall on the BS meter when it comes mm-hmm. to company culture and things like that. And those kind of changes to like really deliver on something amazing, like some companies do it faster than other, and that's the spectrum or yeah. the scale that I'm talking about. But generally, most of the time, darn near all the time, it takes a lot of time to figure those things out to be able right. to do it so well
right.
that you're going to be studied or, you
yeah.
know.
So here's my hot take on that. I think when you look at a company like McDonald's, Ray Kroc knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted to
AKA
do.
AKA Michael Keaton, right?
Also, you know what? Hashtag my Batman. Yeah. Yes. That's all I can think about is that movie now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. But he knew what he wanted and started from the beginning with it, what he wanted to do. And I think so many companies... start with this idea of we're going to make money and everything else is sort of reverse created, right? So we want to make money. We want to make this widget because we figured out how to make this widget. Now we have to figure out how we get people to want it. We have to figure out, you know, and then this ties into the authenticity conversation because they then are reverse engineering this quote-unquote story. Mm. And when the authentic story would be like, we decided we just liked buttloads of money. And we wanted just money raining down on us. And that was why we went into business. But if that is when you go into business with that in mind, you know, you then have to do all of this work. And I think that there are people who... there are maybe two kinds of people. You either back yourself into that, right, and discover it in the way like, oh, well, this was my purpose. I didn't stop and think about what this purpose was. I didn't do this work ahead of time. I thought it was about this. But then I realized, you know, I do have this reasoning behind it, so you can back into it. Or you never get there, and then you just... I think you struggle mm-hmm. forever. to figure out why people would want your product, and you're constantly reinventing that. And then that all feels inauthentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we got to bring this back to social media a bit and like authenticity. I mean, I do think talking about authenticity as it relates to things like company culture, mm-hmm. your products and services and stuff like that's important. It's got to start there for sure, because right. then that helps, you know, inform how you position yourself on social media and things like that. Or it doesn't, and then you're inauthentic, right?
But, right.
What, you know, if someone asks like, okay, how do I make sure that I'm prioritizing authenticity mm-hmm. on social media? And like, how do I even know like if people are responding to that, or am I doing it the right way? Like, what advice do you give someone? What do you say? Or what have you learned in your extensive research?
Well, in my extensive research and also my storied career, the answer to that is what you learn by doing, you learn by trying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we get back into that conversation about social media, you learn by looking at engagement, especially now, where yeah. engagement it really is that indicator, with impressions being a far leading indicator,
right.
engagement being a lagging indicator, right? So that is, if you are hitting the mark, your engagement will indicate that. You will learn something from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's so important that you don't abandon ship when you don't immediately get, you know, massive kudos for being authentically you.
Yeah.
Because number one, you have to find your people. So you could have a business that has a great story, has excellent purpose, that you are living everything that you set out to do. And if you are not in the place, or you just haven't gotten enough visibility that your people aren't seeing you, you're going to feel like you're just spinning your wheels, you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's so important to understand exactly what we're talking about today, how algorithms are going to affect your reach and your engagement, and how to continue, you know, really to push yourself to be authentic, and to keep, there's sort of these dueling things you have to keep in mind, and keep, I'm trying to put a bow on this, and I don't want the bow to be keep doing it until you get it right.
Yeah.
Because I think that's faulty advice, because we know you could think, oh, I just haven't found my people, and you could also be sucking at what you're doing.
Yeah.
It could just not be good. So it's that iterative way of testing. You do something, you change a little something about it, you don't rewrite the whole playbook, and you do that over and over and mm-hmm. over again, and eventually something will hit.
Yeah.
And then it is and then it becomes vital to pause and analyze the thing that hit and figure out how you can recreate it without copying and pasting it.
Right.
That is something that that I have seen people fall into, that trap of saying, well, this is the thing that gets engagement, so let's just do exactly that thing until the heat death of the universe. Let's never change that.
Yeah.
And that's not really the solution either. What we can do is analyze what it was about that thing and try and recreate it in different ways. Then again, you're iterating, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an iterative process, and everybody loves it when a marketer says that.
Yeah, right. No, I think there's truth in what you're saying, because the opposite of it, or some version on the other side of it, is really counteractive to what we talked about at the beginning, which is just like this, I don't know, kind of like peace you have to be at in knowing that you don't know what what exactly right. the algorithm is, how exactly it works, and, you know, which things you might be able to do to completely change all of your data that you care about. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I mean, I don't think there's any denying that. And to the iterative thing, which can feel buzzwordy and like an excuse or something, we also know that the algorithm is always changing. So, like, even the folks that get it right and are doing it well, they have to keep changing because right. things are always changing, you know?
Right.
And again, I don't think there's any denying that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, in my extensive research, as you mentioned, I have a good example, I think, of what that can look like, that authenticity. I don't know which word is harder to say, authenticity or algorithm, but, and it's Duolingo. We on our team spend a lot of time watching Duolingo because, besides the fact that there are several of us that are addicted to being on the leaderboard, the one lesson we can learn from Duolingo is not just by looking at what they're doing now with marketing, but to start back and look into, this is my extensive research right here, look into where they started, which was they started online trying to prioritize demonstrating the learning in the platform, right? And really showing it as this educational platform. And it is, but the educational, it's a great way to learn, but the educational aspect of it isn't really the defining feature. It's the engagement. Hmm. So they shifted, and I thought this was really interesting to hear this. They shifted basically what they were doing online, and particularly if you go on TikTok and find Duolingo, it's not Nutter Butter crazy, but they do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And basically, they shifted their social media to mirror what the goals of the platform, which is continued engagement,
mm-hmm.
rather than... the primary end of the day goal is they want people to be able to learn languages. They know that the way to do that is to encourage, in almost an addictive way, the engagement. And so they mirrored that on social media and it took off.
Mm-hmm.
People love interacting with and seeing what Duolingo's doing. And it's the same. It's that same addictive quality, I think.
Yeah.
In the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was a really interesting little microcosm, little case study.
Yeah. Yeah. The word that you use that is perfect and terrifying is addiction.
Right.
Because I do think that's. If there's a secret ingredient to the algorithm, if it's a recipe, mm-hmm. it's that.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, addiction isn't an ingredient, but how do you make your content, your conversations, mm-hmm. your artwork, your words, whatever it might be.
Right.
Addictive, because that's definitely what they're looking for.
You know,
more users on the platform more consistently to... get more views on ads and all of those things that make the money, right?
Right.
So,
right. And oh, brother, it's all about lighting up the little synapses in people's brains, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's all about looking at, you know, what excites people, what moves them, what creates any emotion in them,
mm-hmm.
and depending, and that is the thing about social media, that you can find. And really broadly, we should expand it to things like Reddit. You can find whatever emotion you want.
Sure.
And you can keep hitting that, you know, like a gerbil on a...
Yeah.
hitting the little bar to get little pellets, right?
Right, yeah.
So, and you can, much like Duolingo, you can just keep... satisfying that desire to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is that makes it an interesting challenge for a lot of marketers, because I don't think everybody, and I also would not advise everybody, I don't think everybody is ready to really get into the addictive nature and to think, you know, to think about, I hate to use the word manipulation, but what I prefer to use, especially like if I'm talking to our team or something, like we want it to be evocative. We want it to be compelling, mm-hmm. right? But things that are evocative and compelling, it's not that, it's a nice way to say manipulative.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I think the thing where social media is just a bit different than everything else that we do is the unlimited access, you mm-hmm. know.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we can create evocative and compelling content that's delivered a bunch of other ways that's very difficult for people to get that hit. Mm-hmm. To use a very traditional form of advertising, a billboard or something, like, take a lot of work to spin around the block to see that thing. And
right.
also you're going to see the same thing. So it's not going to have the same effect, but
yeah,
you know, that access is key to it. And I don't know, this is probably a whole different episode, but, you know, speaking of authenticity, you know, like we've got a really interesting challenge as marketers to responsibly activate these tools that we have at our
right.
fingertips, you know, and part of it is playing into the systems that we have access to, like social mm-hmm. media, to deliver evocative content, or shoot, I'll say it, like manipulate people to doing the thing that we want them to do, or who knows, even get them addicted to our content, you know.
Right.
That is our job, you know, but how do we do that ethically? How
right.
do we, you know, do that safely?
Right.
Especially when you're talking about some of the products and services that a lot of our clients, credit unions, are delivering, you know, mm-hmm. financial services and stuff, where, you know, manipulation to get somebody to click on a ad and or click like or follow to get more silly content is one thing. To get them to take out a loan that they don't need, that's another.
Right.
You know, and
right.
so, and there's a lot of, you know, safety mechanisms in mm-hmm. place and stuff to make sure that our power with that is limited and stuff, but the power is still there on some level. And so mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's just an interesting challenge that we have to get people to do a thing we want them to do while also not hurting anyone. You know?
Right. Right.
Meanwhile, there's plenty of companies out there that are fully comfortable with getting people to do the thing that we want them
people.
To do, knowing that they're hurting yeah. people. But
yeah. Yeah, and it comes back to something that we've talked about as a team before, that, you know, that concept of whatever we do, our purpose is to be doing good,
right?
To bringing good into the world.
Yeah.
And when you think about the difference between the, I don't think we should say I'm going to form a sentence. I don't think we should really look at authenticity versus the algorithm, even though I already know that's going to be the name of this episode.
Yeah.
But it really is, I think, I'm coming around to this idea, that it is how do they interact with each other? How do you leverage the algorithm to demonstrate your authenticity? How do you do it authentically?
Yeah.
And it is bringing good to the world, being of value to people. Mm-hmm. It's simple to get people addicted to, I don't know, short videos of guys getting hit in the face with baseballs or, you know, whatever. It's simple to get people addicted to things that are not creating good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain people, I think, that are prone to looking for things that are, you know, developmentally healthy, whatever you want to call it. But there's this whole group in the middle, this 80% that you know, we always see on the bell curve, that we need to find a way to get them interacting with authentic, good, healthy, useful things. They're not just guys getting hit in the face with baseballs. Yeah. Face is not was not going to be my go-to, yeah, by right. the way.
I get you. Everybody's filling in that blank.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice like way to kind of full circle the topic on, authenticity being more than like what your social media content is and stuff. Like it is your product, your services, mm-hmm. how you deliver it, your customer experience, your company culture, like all of those things, you know. And I mean, to bring it back to another example, or to an example I used previously in McDonald's, like there are, as much as, you know, they can kind of be painted as evil megacorp and all of this stuff, and sure, there's some things about McDonald's that I don't love or whatever, McDonald's has delivered on some things for me that have been like pretty important moments, micro mm-hmm. moments, you know, definitely micro compared to the rest of life relatively, but times that like, shoot man, I needed food and I was on an island and that's mm-hmm. where I got it from, or you know, it made my kids happy, or you know, right. whatever, right? You know, so like I think that sometimes the connection between the authenticity of how you operate as a company and what value your products and services deliver and how you might be perceived on social media or how you're how well you interact with the algorithm and all these things, like there can be a quite visible disconnect between those two things. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're doing things ethically, you know, on the right. high road and all of that, this feels unauthentic me saying it, but I think you can check the box. You can check both boxes of, mm. you know, like feeding the algorithm and delivering on authenticity.
Right. You know? Right. Well, and circling back to this idea of things, posts or things on social media that are being throttled. Hmm. That is maybe one thing, and I don't have a solution for it. And I also, just like the rest of the algorithm, I can't promise you that when I hear a creator say, you know, my posts are being mm-hmm. throttled, I'm being demonetized, yeah. you know, they're trying to, they're not showing me to people. Sure.
Yeah. yeah. You're probably right.
I have no reason to not believe you.
Yeah.
But I don't have any proof of it. Right. I mean, what you see, I don't want to get too far off on this topic, but when I see that, generally people will say, like, they'll bring data. So I created this video, it had that many impressions. I created a video that was substantially like it, and the impressions were a quarter of what mm-hmm. the last one was. So they were not showing it.
Right.
Right. And that's the, you know, again, that's the impression side of it. It is not going to people. If you can't get impressions, are not everything, but if you can't get any impressions,
yeah.
you then can't get the engagement, which is,
right.
you know, really key.
Yeah.
So what I think, one, you know, we're circling into this. I feel like we've been all over the place. It's okay. We're circling into sort of capping it off with advice.
Yeah.
One thing I think that we can do is, if you feel like you are being suppressed, or your content, you know, suddenly your content is not going where you think it should be going, examine that and find out why. Now, bring that back to authenticity. If it is because of something you authentically are, if it is a message that you authentically feel you need to have, you don't get to reverse course. Right. Be like, oh, now I'm this guy,
right.
and I'm doing this thing. So can't necessarily solve that throttling of you mm-hmm. that way. But also, you know, we have some experience on social media working with brands that are financial, and they, social media platforms, for good reason, because of pertinent laws in the country, can be kind of persnickety
right.
about how ads can be and things that you can post.
Right.
So you need to appease the algorithm there. and make sure that you are creating content that stays legal and above board and is not going to be suppressed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think consistency is the word we're talking about here, right?
Right.
Like, if you're going to be authentic, authenticity is what got you where you are. Like, don't steer away from that just to get results. I mean, I suppose there's an exception, like a business that is solely dependent on social media traffic and engagement and stuff to continue to survive.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably businesses like that out there, right? But also, like, if social media is the only thing that you're doing to get you work, like, there's probably something wrong with your business model, you know? So, like, stay consistent and lean into those other things that are getting mm-hmm. you work while you figure it out, you
right.
know? And, like, again, I say all of this with the disclaimer that I don't know how it all works. But it's also pretty safe to say that, like, time will get you where you want to be, you know? Like, just give it some time and stay the course, stay consistent.
Right. Yeah. I think another thing is related to authenticity, related to what we're saying, is to not, and I'll just call it out, to not be performative.
Yeah.
And make sure that what you are saying online, it matches how you really do your business. Or this is my caveat for that. If what you are saying online does not match your business today, you better be moving toward it.
Right, right. Yep.
So
it's all right if it's a little aspirational.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you better have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just.
Because you, when you get called out on it, and you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's going to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the tip of not over optimizing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, going all in on the last thing that you heard. Or maybe you even got directly from the platform saying that, hey, this works and we'll get you views. And I'll use Facebook Live videos as this example for sure. Because there's a few pages or businesses that I follow where every time I see it, I'm like, oh, you're still doing Facebook Live, huh? You know? You know?
Haven't like, given that up
yeah.
yet.
You know, just, and specifically, I mean, I think there's still times where Facebook Live is perfectly fine and it's exactly the way to put information out there or something, but just seeing what information they're sharing and stuff, it's like, yeah, there's a better way to do that. And you're probably only doing it because you're kind of stuck in that optimizing for, oh yeah, I heard that this is a great way to get reach. And it's like, well,
yeah,
it was, you know, but things have changed.
Right.
So.
Right.
Also, it could come back around, and if you stay consistent with that, who knows? Maybe you'll just wind up crushing it. But
who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think it sort of correlates to, this is my opinion. You can argue with me. It correlates to what we saw with websites and SEO, where, you know, initially people were just building websites. They were billboards.
Yeah.
And you were putting any information you could possibly think of on the website, then we became, you know, Google became not just more important, but as the most important thing in Google's mind. And suddenly everyone was optimizing things for Google and quote unquote optimizing their SEO. And then pages became unreadable, junky with all of these words because they were trying to think of every search term that people could be thinking of and cramming it into these pages. And then the advice came to say, hey, but this also has to be readable.
Yeah.
And so I think sort of a similar thing here, that if you push to just optimize for the algorithm, you're going to end up with garbage.
Right.
And by the time you figure out how you can push to optimize for the algorithm, 3 weeks will have passed and the algorithm will have changed.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Which is why the authentic content, done well, done with research in mind, pay attention to your analytics and how things are, you know, that is the algorithm part of it. Pay attention to the results you're getting.
Yeah.
And you will see how the algorithm is affecting you. And then you adjust as needed.
Mm-hmm.
Do the right things. Do them frequently. Repeat them.
Yeah.
And when they stop working, try something
Change.
Else. Yeah. Yes. And then, of course, all of this to say, all of that great advice about try a million things and do and optimize and iterate.
Stay consistent.
Stay consistent. We also know that you have to understand your own practical constraints. Mm-hmm. If you have a small team, if you don't have a lot of money, if you begin to burn out trying to do this, hey, we only get one life. Yeah. And we got to do this right too. Yeah. So yeah, that's just good life advice.
That is.
So be kind to yourself. Don't follow it.
That's that bow you were looking for before.
There's my bow.
That's an awesome bow on the episode, because I do think it's important. Like, it's very easy to get caught up in the advice and the research and your own metrics and all that stuff. And it is important to remember you're probably facing some kind of limitation and, you know, at the very least acknowledge it. I'm not saying, like, don't keep pushing, but... Acknowledge that you only have so much time. Your team's only so big. You know, you've got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Do your best.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I see, for the record, listener, Sue always puts together fantastic notes for our episodes.
Stop.
And these are the most comprehensive notes for any episode to date. And at the end of them are some excellent useful links that I imagine we'll be sharing.
Yeah. I can share some of those, yes. Absolutely, we'll share links. There's just a ton of information here. And you could, and this might be from personal experience, you could really go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, check out some of these links, read some of this information, and we always want to hear from you. So, if you can find this podcast, you can sure find us.
Yep.
So we welcome your comments. We love creating these episodes of Awesomeology for you. And we are always excited to have you here with us, even if it becomes a rambling pile of expert but slightly confused opinions. And you can always learn more about us at our website, exclamationcuso.com. And find us on your favorite podcast app.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome, and see you next time. The Awesomeology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Executive producers are myself, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.
Thanks to Kyla Ganther for our show artwork, Scott Sager for booking our guest, and Alex Westerhausen for social media support.